been a good day today, as every day is. We come to God's house is good, whether we don't feel good or not. It's still good. It's good that we're vertical, not horizontal, I would say. Like someone said not long ago, better to be seen than viewed. So we got a lot to be thankful for tonight. All right, well, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. This has been a long day for some, and so we're conscientious of that. Choir practice was today, and I kind of went on a scavenger hunt this afternoon for my house key, and Christy was involved, and the Martins were involved, and so it has been an afternoon. But again, good to be here. 2 Samuel tonight, 22, verse number 50. Let's pray, and we'll get into the lesson. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for the things that you have done, the things that you're doing now that we may not be aware of, the things that you are going to do in the future, Lord. I say it so much, those three things, but it's so true. It rests here in my heart. I pray, God, that tonight you'd use me to be a blessing to your people as we get ready to go into a brand new week, Lord, with real struggles, real deadlines, real responsibilities. Lord, help us all just focus on you and move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 50. The Bible says, David speaking, says, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." Unto thy name. David in this chapter gives praise to the Lord for the things that he has done in his life. And I think tonight that it will do all of us good, starting with this guy right here, to not wait just once a year to give thanks at Thanksgiving, but for it to be, Brother Harold, a recurring thing to give thanks to God each and every day. Something interesting, you don't have to turn there now, but maybe when you get home tonight or next week, Psalm chapter number 18 in verse number 1 through 50 has the very same words recorded. And so we see that we have David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, speaking from his heart. And it's recorded in Psalm 18. Now, chapter 23 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said." So there's that phrase, sweet psalmist of Israel. I love that phrase. It's sweet. Some believe these are the last words of David as a human. Others believe this is David's last words as a psalmist. But at any rate, these are some of David's last words. He's given thanks. He's given thanks. And so David is reflecting over the past. Tonight I want to share some things with you that David encountered as he reflects over his past. And I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, when David looked back. When David looked back. Let me ask you a question. What do you see when you look back? What do you see? Now I know there are some monumental things in all of our lives that we see. Some are or harsh things that were very big and overwhelming in our life, monumental. But also, we would have to say that when we look back over our life, there was equal monumental grace that allowed us to climb those mountains that were in our life. We all could testify of some things when we look back. But let's look at David's life and let's see some things that he encountered that he gives God praise for. The first thing is I want to mention is in chapter 21. And starting in verse number 15, we see that David reflected over victories that looked hopeless. Victories that looked hopeless in his life. He gives God praise for these things in chapter 22. But these are some areas in his life that he went through where things seemed at one time hopeless or very trying. I want to say, first of all, things look hopeless in chapter 21, verse 15 through 22, because of the size of the challenges. The size. Notice verse number 15. The Bible says, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint." Let's stop there for a moment. When we continue to read, you'll find that there were four giants here that were slain at the hand of David and his men. But I do want to say that David grew faint fighting this giant. The Bible says so in verse number 15. Verse 16, it rolls into it. It says, "And Ish-bibenob." Wow, what a name. Ish-bibenob, which was of the sons of the giant. There were giants in Gath. This was a son of that race. There were the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Now we talk about and we hear a lot of preaching about David versus Goliath. And no doubt David slew Goliath. Boom, right there in the forehead. That rock sunk deep. David cut his head off and delivered it and kept his sword in his tent as a remembrance of what God did. But now we find another giant, and David was waxing faint here in verse 15. That last phrase. And David waxed faint. Verse 16, David was almost dead. The giant thought that he actually killed him. And so we have a sizable problem here. And David feels hopeless at this moment. He is faint and he's laying there almost dead. So we see victories that David that looked hopeless. And number one had to do with the size, but then had to do with the fatigue. I just mentioned that a moment ago, but David is suffering fatigue in verse number 15. And verse number 16 again, this giant had went after him with a sword and perhaps almost killed David. And so there's fatigue here. The size of this battle here all worked against David, where he felt like you could basically say, "Man, I just feel hopeless. I'm fatigued. The enemy took a shot at me." But not only that, victories that looked hopeless, the size, the fatigue that David felt, but it also looked hopeless because of his absence. Victories that looked hopeless. This was an account of a time where David's man stepped in, one of his men, Abishai. I believe it was verse 17. Abishai stepped in. Look what it says in verse 17. "But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, 'Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel.'" And so his men said, "Stay home, David. You have been wounded. You are fatigued. This man, Abishai, one of his closest men, killed this giant, Ishbibenob, slew him. And so we see that over the next three giants, verse number 18 down through verse number 22, David is basically absent. They told him to stay home. Verse number 18, we see that Sabekiah slew a giant, one of David's men. Verse number 19, we see that Elkanah slew a giant, one of David's men. And then verse 20, Jonathan slew a giant. And David was absent during this time. But he had some men that fought some giants for him. And possibly David might have felt, well, I'm not on the battlefield, and so what's going to come of this battle? Well, because he had some good men with him that stood and helped him to fight these giants, David actually succeeded in the men of Israel. You say, what is that saying, Brother Justin? My mind is just blah, blah, blah. We see that David in chapter 22 is given praise, and he's reflecting back over some of these times. And it was during a time that looked hopeless. He had four giants he was facing. He was fatigued. And then eventually he was absent. But you see, the Lord had a way of bringing about the victory to him. He had some men that stepped in. And I want to say tonight, thank God for friends and family. Thank God for those who surround us, who pray for us and help us, who step in and allow us to reach our best, to operate out of our best because of the help of others. So we see that David looked back. David looked back in his life, and he's seen some victories that looked hopeless. So David had some men to help him in the midst of his fatigue, and he got the victory because of that. Look in chapter 22 and verse 1. Our main chapter tonight, he says, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So David is recanting his past. Any of you tonight ever had to face a giant in your life, and then another, and then another, and then another, to the point where you too were weak and feeble and fatigued? But because of a prayer team that was backing you up, because of the love of the church that came in and held you up, you were able to succeed. Well, I praise the Lord for that tonight, those who help us along the way. And so tonight we see, when David looked back, the first thing he encountered were victories that looked hopeless. But secondly, we see abilities that were instilled. We're in 2 Samuel. Let's continue in chapter 22. Notice, if you would, in verse 35. In the middle of David giving thanks for what the Lord's done, in verse number 35, he said that he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. I love that verse. He teacheth my hands to war. Over in, you don't have to turn there, but maybe later, Psalm 144 verse 1, it says that he teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. How about that? The word teacheth in both means to exercise. And so David says, there were some times in my life where God had me exercising my hands and my fingers. He was teaching me how to take care of myself. And no doubt in your life and mine, as we look back over the years at the mountains and the valleys and everything we've been through, we have to say that God taught us how to fight in the night season. The Lord has a way of exercising us and allowing us to come face to face with obstacles and difficulty so that we may learn how to rightly face a battle. So David says, the Lord is exercising my hands so much that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. And so David has tough hands. David has fighting fingers. And tonight we get tough hands and fighting fingers by the Lord teaching us and by us exercising in prayer, grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar. Lord, please help me, Lord. Please help me, God. Please come through for this individual. That's how you fight with your hands. We don't walk up. God's not teaching us to fight. Okay? This isn't boxing in here. He's not teaching us to physically fight. Now, maybe in David's day there was a little bit of that. But in our day, we fight like this. We fight with our hands doing this, turning the pages of God's Word. You see, God is teaching us how to fight. And we fight with hands that are together. And we fight with fingers that are turning pages in the Bible. That's how we fight. And if we look back over our life, has there not been times where you've tried everything there is to try for help, but the only place you could go to is prayer and God's Word? I think we've learned how to fight if we've learned that. And maybe at one point in life that was our last resort, but now it's our first destination. It's the first place we go to. Abilities that were instilled. Verse number 30, we see that David learned how to go through things and how to get over things. Look at verse 30. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. Again, we see that David, he literally had times where there was a troop coming toward him, and no doubt he ran through them troops, but it was by God he did that. And no doubt there were times where David leaped some walls, but it was by God he did that. There was only one time where I almost leaped a wall, and I was being chased by a dog on the way home from school, back in elementary school. This dog, I lived with my grandmother, 895 Wanda Circle, never forget it, Austell Road. She's been there 50 years plus 100. Going home from school, went to Milford Elementary. Coming home, big old golden retriever named Lucky. And Lucky wanted a bite. And I want to tell you, the backside of the circle where that dog was at, there was a steep hill we called the Big Hill. We would go down that thing on big wheels. We used to go down that thing on all kinds of the Red Rider wagons. But I made it to the fence. Didn't quite clear the fence. And Lucky got a bite. But you know what? I'm alive to tell about it. So praise the Lord. But there's some things spiritually in our life that God is teaching us to get through. We may not have to worry about an entourage of people coming to kill us. We might one day, but as for now, there is an entourage of spiritual wickedness in high places that's coming after us. And the Lord is teaching us how to get through that. And there's some things in life, praise the Lord, He doesn't require wall leaping, but He does require us to get over some things. And David says, within myself, I couldn't have cleared that wall. Within myself, I could not have ran through that troop. But with God's help, I did. Has anybody in here tonight ever, by the help of the Lord, finally got victory over something? Yes, I have. There's other things in my life that I need to deal with, that I need victory over. You say, what are you doing, robbing banks? No. But I do take stuff to bed with me in my mind. And I do wrestle. And it seems like sometimes the world is against me. And don't ask me why I feel that way. I just do at times. Maybe it's the devil. I know it is. And I just have to fight my way through some things. Some of you, when you close your eyes at night, you're fighting things. You may not have to run through a physical troop or climb a wall, but there's some things that you mull over and you mull over and you mull over night after night. And God eventually brings you to a place where He says, just give it to me and you'll be over it. Doesn't mean the problem goes away. Doesn't mean you'll never have to deal with it again, but you can learn how to acclimate yourself to it and get some sleep. By the way, Wednesday night, that's what I preached on, is get some sleep. That's what I preached on. Abilities that were instilled. He learned how to go through things and get over some things. Verse number 29, backing up a verse. He learned how to see in the night seasons. Verse 29, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. Oh, how we want to see our way through darkness. We get the phone call that tragedy has happened and we want to see our way through it, but we get those phone calls and all we see is right here, isn't it? Our world stops. We can't recognize the ground under our feet. Things are different. It's dark. David faced some dark days in his life, but he said, Lord, you're my lamp. As much as I want it all to be clear so I can see clearly, he said, it's still one step at a time with my lamp. So the same for us. I'm sure we could reflect back on some times in our life. And maybe there's even some moments you're facing right now where it's dark. You're experiencing some things at school. You're experiencing some things at home. Some things in your marriage. Some things, I don't know, whatever level you want to put it on. Whatever thing you want to put it on or apply it to. There's some things that are dark. And it's going to be God's word that's going to get you through. So, abilities that were instilled. When David looked back, he's seen that God made him stronger. When David looked back, he seen victories that looked hopeless. But then lastly, chapter number 23, verse number 5. If I could have a little play on words here. David talks about some sureties in spite of negativity. Verse number 5, he continues his praising the Lord. Verse number 5 says, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. I love that, and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. David says, there's some sure things that I reflect over in spite of all the negativity at home. He says, there's been some, meaning his house. Some say the house of Israel, but at any rate, there were failure in both. Absalom, his son, tried to steal the, and did so for a while, the kingdom. And so he says, although my house be not so with God. Look at the very bottom of that verse. Although he make it not to grow. Those are negative things. David says there's some negativity at home. Things are not growing like I want them to grow. My entire house is not with God. And he says, but I reflect back over my life and there are some sure things in spite of the negativity. And the sure thing is that God has not changed his mind on me. God has not changed his covenant, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. David says, although everybody's not walking with God at the home place, and although things are not growing and things look dim and things look bleak, and I have times where I'm discouraged, he says that I find great courage in the fact that, God, your covenant toward me is sure. Lord, that your promises still abide on me and my seed forever. Oh, I'm glad tonight that nothing that I can do can remove me from the hand of God. Nothing that I can do can make him love me any more, any less. He has a covenant, a new covenant with you and with me. Amen. The cross of Calvary. His blood covered it all. His blood says it all. Because of his blood, it doesn't matter at times where, let me back, it does matter at times what goes on at home, what goes on in our communities, but the struggle and the heartache and the failure, God still doesn't backtrack on us. His love for us is still sure. His love for those who are not so with God, he still loves them. Although things aren't growing like he wants them to grow, or desires for them to, and wants to, he still loves them. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me, with me, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and my desire, although he make it not to grow. Sureties, in spite of negativity. Sometimes things get hard at home, and sometimes things aren't moving along as fast as we like for them to at home, and even church sometimes, where things seemingly aren't growing like we thought. But there's one thing about it that's sure and steady, is the love of God, and for that I am thankful. When David looked back, David seen some victories that looked hopeless, abilities that were instilled, and sureties in spite of negativity. All right. Well, Brother Allen, I guess it's a one-man invitation tonight. If you want to come, and I guess David's gone. Didn't know he was out of here, but okay. That's fine. We just want to end the service with an invitation. And if you need to come, you be sure to come tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Urge you to come while you can, right at the very first.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood washed for me, and that thou biddest me come to.
Enough. I appreciate it. Thank you all for coming. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and conclude service with that. Thank you for coming, and thank you for listening once again. And hope you got something out of the lesson tonight and this morning. Let's just lift one another up in prayer. Easter's right around the corner. Grab your prayer list. We've got plenty of people to pray for. And so just remember everything that we're going to be doing in the month of April. Anything to mention before we close? All right. Well,
don't forget Christie's basket.
Christie's basket. Oh, thank you for that. All right. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Brother, would you close us out?